Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Mr. Paul Mack and Kevin Carter. Mr. Mack, man, you was holding it down the last 2 weeks, man.
I didn't burn the house down, so we're doing okay.
Otherwise, Kevin, who knows for burning houses? Oh, I'm just kidding. What's up, KC?
Wow, I burnt a fucking house in a few years. What the fuck are you talking about burning houses? I build them up.
I'm messing with you. Hey, before we get into it, man, talk about your experience at the Swamp. You know, FSU, Gators.
Oh, Florida, yeah, that was
the big rivalry game.
That was fun. It was fun. It's my second one I've been to. It was an electric atmosphere. Pretty early in the game, though, there was a bunch of people wearing garnet and gold with a bunch of puckered butts. I can tell you that much. They wasn't saying much. And then of course, they come through at the end because, well, Florida's defense just got tired. And when you can't throw a football and then your two best running backs go down for one in the most important series for Florida, it was screwed. But just there, it was loud as hell. Dumbass FSU band trying to play during fucking Tom Petty.
Tom Petty? Yeah, they
tried to play right in the middle of the song. You could barely hear them come on. The Florida players were pissed. They were freaking yelling at them. I just told them, shut the fuck up. If you want to see the video of that, it's on Crystal's Facebook page where you can literally hear me go, shut the fuck up.
I want to pull that up because I ain't gonna lie. Like, I was irritated, but then the moment, like a few days out, that's why I was like, that's kind of messed up. But then I'm like,
no, it was a dickhead move.
That's kind of crazy they did that, bro.
LSU did the shit too. But then you can't fucking hear them because it pisses everybody off. And then you're like, oh, they just made everything louder. And I was like, bro, fucking douchebags.
I'm surprised y'all just didn't stop singing song and just start booing.
No,
but then that's probably what they're not going to boo.
No, we're not going to boo. Yeah, we're not going to boo. We're just going to sing louder to where we can't hear your punk asses. And we were sitting kind of right across from them. And I told her before we even went to the game, I said, look, the shit's annoying on TV. It's triple annoying when you're fucking there because they only know one fucking song. Like, that's it. They only know fucking song. And a lot of them were doing little swipey jerks. And I was like, oh, shows you how big y'all are. Oh, never mind. I was like, I just told a bunch of them. I was like, you know, I was always taught when I was younger, only special people can do things with one hand.
Listen, Bill Burr put it perfectly about how that's the most annoying chant.
And it is the dumb. It is. It is the. It, it. if you do it occasionally, cool. You don't do it after every.
After every song, say, as Kevin got.
No, every Kevin got so fucking play. Every play. Shut the fuck up.
Look, Kevin got so animated, he got disconnected. Okay, let's move on. We're talking about Florida State, FSU, and Well, listen, our time is coming. So FSU, I hope y'all find a way to lose and not make it to the playoffs. That's just the Gators speaking to me. But
and here's my here's my favorite part of all of it. People come into work and go, do y'all have any FSU stuff? And we're like, no. Well, why not? So I had enough of it today. And I looked down and said, you want to know why we don't have any FSU stuff? Because when you guys suck, none of y'all buy anything. I said, that's why they don't keep nothing in here. Because the last few years, you have sucked. And none of you buy anything because you're a bunch of bandwagon jumpers. Oh, I was giving them to them big time. I said, the only reason y'all want to come in here and buy shit now is because you're good. They went, well, why do you got all that Gator stuff? I said, because no matter how bad we are, we still buy shit.
Hey, speaking of, Kev, you're going to like this. Columbia had a Black Friday, or no, Cyber Monday sale. The rain jacket, I had a Gator jacket for like $50. I had to cop that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's like rain repellent, and it was for their Black or Cyber Monday deal, and I was like, yeah, I got to get that. So I
got. We got a lot of good stuff. We got a lot of good stuff that's about to go on sale too. So I'm gonna be topping a few shirts.
Gotcha, Paul. Me and Kevin talk about Gators all day, hey, man. You good, man? Like, what's good, man?
Yeah, bro, I survived the weekend, man. I work in retail, so I survived Black Friday. I survived the weekend. I survived Cyber Monday. All that. So I'm here, man. I'm here. It's always fun for me. Like, I'm one of those guys where the busier shit gets, I like to kind of be in the trenches holding it down. But yeah, man, another year in the books, sling some phones and all that fun stuff.
Paul, I can relate. Walmart just been slammed. We've been slinging packages left and right. Our socials are dead. All right, Dwight. Relax, Kevin. but no, retail is crazy right now, and like we can't take any days. Well, I can't use any PTO days right now, so I was very irritated that I missed two Magic Home games because of it. But they pay the bills, so it is what it is. I can only be irritated for like 5 minutes and move on, and go to work. So
nonetheless, oh, no. I'm glad he missed Magic games. Oh no!
Hey, right now they're winning with or without Cortez there, so it doesn't make it.
Yeah, they're playing. They're making me and Cortez look smart.
Hey, and we'll give Cortez his flowers later on. We'll give him the floor later.
Exactly.
on.
Exactly. I got
to
say.
He got a lot to say.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, hey, let's get into it. Why? Because once again, I can talk about basketball all day, but there was a busy football week just happened, man. So let's hop right into it. Week 12. Week 12 really brought the course of Thanksgiving. Y'all had a fantastic segment about what y'all think for Thanksgiving and talking about the Thanksgiving games and what y'all thought would happen and everything like that.
And boy, were we wrong.
We were fucking wrong.
Yeah, we laid some duds on that for sure. So,
but let's talk about Detroit City.
Let's say Detroit. We go talk about them for sure. All right, so let's talk about the Eagles and Bills. Went to overtime, and game was just all over the place. It really was a really good game. Went down to 37-34 in OT, and the Eagles ended up pulling that game out. So. I'm going to ask this question to Kevin. Kevin, regarding to the Eagles and the Bills, did the Eagles win it or did Buffalo blew it?
Buffalo blew it. blew it. They've been doing that shit all year. They did exactly what they've been doing all year. The Eagles did exactly what they've been doing all year. So it was just both of it combined. That's what you get.
Gotcha. Paul, did the Eagles win it or did the Bills blew it?
I'm gonna say the Eagles won it just because Buffalo hasn't really done much. And I think this kind of boils back into last week's segment where we were talking about the differences between teams like Philly and Baltimore, where Philly, I trust Philly in these games. Like when Philly's down and you think they're out, they just find ways to win. And it's just in their DNA now. I don't know if that's a Coach Sirianni thing. I don't know what that is about those guys, but they're never out of a game. This was much more high scoring than some of the other games they've been in. Usually they're in these like low scoring kind of sloppy games, but the resiliency of this team, man, it's crazy to see because you think they're down and they just keep getting back up every week, it seems like. I mean, very rarely are they winning from opening kickoff. They're usually in a battle. They're usually kind of sluggish first quarter, first half, and then they just find a way to turn it on later on in the game. But I think it's more impressive for Philly. I mean, it's a shame because I feel like this was a big game for Buffalo. And they're pretty much where we thought they were. I mean, they're just their time has elapsed, and that team's in for a rough offseason, I think. But you know, kudos to Philly. Like it hurts me to say it. Kudos to Philly. Jalen Hurts throwing the ball, you know, three in the air, two with his legs. I mean, what are you gonna do? You know, and it's the Philly special, man. They just find ways to win. And you're going to have to get on them early and by a lot because they're never out of a game.
Yeah, Paul, I do agree with you. I think the Eagles won it. Buffalo is one of those that – and I picked them to win this game. And Buffalo seems to me when the competition is a little bit better, they raise their level of play. And honestly, Josh Allen didn't have a bad game. He played pretty well, actually.
And Hurts, that's why I said they blew it.
Yeah, but to go over there, listen, they overcame a halftime deficit of 10. There was going to have 17-7. Then like, and so this also the Eagles, they lost two of their major calls and on the defensive side of the ball. They lost linebacker Zach Cunningham and defensive tackle Fletcher Cox. So field goal 59 yards just to go ahead to go to OT. Something about Josh Allen, like I said, listen, he played well. He had four total touchdowns, had 339-yard pass and 89 yards rushing. He had the one pick, but it's been a while. This has been like this for the last few seasons with Buffalo. They always need like a better running back, not throw shade at James Cook, but they need a better running game because you kind of put that together with Josh Allen running ability, being a dual threat at a quarterback position. They need to figure that running game out. Now, that pass to Gabe Davis was just a disconnect. That was probably the ball game right there. They didn't have to go to overtime because of that. Just a little bit of disconnect between those two of what was going to happen on that pass. But, nah, listen, Eagles have really as I think earlier in the podcast, we all talked about, you know, the Eagles in these close games and, you know, is this going to hurt them going down the line. But for the most part, some of these games that get in the playoffs, they're going to be potentially close. Now you got to add the weather effect to it, element to it. So Eagles winning this game, they kind of been through, you know, the gill and going through the grinder of these type of games. Just only bodes well for them going to the postseason. So initially I was worried at the beginning of the season, but now they got these type of games, they're still finding a way to win these games. I gotta give credit to the Eagles, man. They definitely, for me, for sure, won this game. Kevin, you want to ask something?
The scary thing is for Buffalo is offensively, that's probably the best they played all year.
Yep.
And they still lost.
Yep.
So that's the crazy part. Josh Allen throws for 339, runs for 81. They ran for over 150 yards as a team and threw for 340.
Yep.
And they still lost. So
and yep. There goes in line. That goes in line with where I say Buffalo blew it, because they just had their best outing on that side of the ball, and they blew it. They blew taking advantage of the best outing they've got from their quarterback and their run game and everything at once, and then they just blew it by letting a guy kick a knuckleball for 59 yards away.
Yeah, no, that was a hell of a kick, man. That was a hell of a kick.
That shit looked like if we went out in the backyard and just tried to kick the shit out of the ball, that's what ours looked like. It was just going ring, 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 ring. It was just fluttering around like a dead bird, but it went straight right in the middle.
Oh, good stuff. All right. Well, hey, let's move on to the next topic and talk about the AFC playoff picture. The AFC playoff picture is insane. You got the 9-3 Ravens, the 8-3 Chiefs, Jaguars, the Dolphins, 7-4 Steelers, Browns, 6-5 Colts, Texans, and Broncos, and the 6-6 Bills. The win margin is a nail biter. Within three games of, you know, somebody can make a run here and try to get a home field advantage. So right now, before we go into our next question, who is your current favorite lock to win this AFC conference? And I go with Paul. Who you got? So all you see right now, who you got that if you put your marbles on?
I mean, aside from Baltimore, there hasn't really been a dominant team week in and week out. Like Miami struggles with good teams. You know, Kansas City can't catch a cold. You know, Miami is there, and then you got, you know, the teams you really got to worry about right now are the teams that are streaking a little bit. So like Denver, Houston, you know, those teams. Houston played a tough game against Jacksonville last week, and then Jacksonville, you know, had a little hiccup, but they're still rolling to 8-3. So I mean, you still got to just it's gonna come down to health probably, but I still think Baltimore probably pulls out the one seed there just because they're the most kind of complete team in and out. They just still scare me if the game gets close. Like coming down to a fourth quarter, like they outplayed the Chargers last week, and the Chargers were just hanging around, and that game got real close, and there was a potential few plays there where the Chargers could have taken that game, but Chargers fucking stink. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's just one of those. If Baltimore can't get out big early and it's within a score, I just don't know how I feel about them going into the fourth quarter. But based off those other teams kind of in the middle, the other division winners or the other division leaders, so you got Miami, Jacksonville, Kansas City. Like I'm gonna go Baltimore, but I think a team like Jacksonville can get hot again. And obviously, you got to worry about whoever gets to play those wild card teams, because those wild card teams could be a problem, I think.
Gotcha. Kev, your thought about this AFC division, and how come are you feeling your Jaguars, man? Tell me how comfortable you feeling. I know we're going to break our teams down later, but just give me like a quick synopsis of this whole AFC conference, including your Jaguars.
Here, it's easy. Whenever Jacksonville and Baltimore have to play, that's going to be who gets your number one seed in the conference. And that's where all roads are going to have to go to. Because Kansas City right now, they look good. This past week, they actually done some things. Finally, people caught the football. But it's just been a consistency issue with those guys and them holding on to the ball. It's just that I still think that Baltimore-Jacksonville game is going to be the game that is going to be the focal point on who gets the number one seed in the AFC. Because after that, Jacksonville, really the only hard game, the only hard game on paper they got left is against Baltimore. That's it. So if you can get past that game, then you're playing rookie, backup, quarterbacks all through the rest of the year. And now Cleveland, with most of their defense going down all of a sudden with injury, it all of a sudden makes things a lot easier for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's my thoughts on
but I'm not going to write off the Chiefs just because of who they got playing quarterback and who their head coach is. So we really can't, I'm not going to write them off at all, but that's just where my mind is thinking right now with those two teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, this AFC conference is very fun to watch. I'm telling you, man, it's just I'm watching the Ravens, and I know I picked them to come out of that division. I think they're my pick for coming out the AFC. But their next three is, as Kevin mentioned, it's brutal. They're home against the Rams, they're at Jacksonville, and they're at the 49ers. That's a brutal start to December for them guys. So if they lose to the Jaguars and then go into the 49ers, losing two games in this tight race can really set you back. And speak of that, the Browns are still on you too. I know they just lost recently, but the Browns are still on you as well. The Steelers are somehow still winning the games. I don't know how, but the Steelers are somehow winning the game. Oh, I know why they fired Mac. They fired the Canada guy, right? Blame yeah. Canada.
and they're shitty good.
Okay, hey, I trademarked that shit.
So and then on the flip side, you look at the Dolphins, which we always been talking about. They need to win the big game. Well, the next three, they at the Commanders, they're playing the Titans, and they're playing the Jets at home. So they really have a chance to kind of really make a jump here if they want to. And so this is madness with the AFC. You got the Colts is looking pretty decent. The Texans is looking pretty decent. The Broncos is coming on recently. The Bills can still kind of make a run they want. So I know they've been going through this whole little streak, but and then the Jaguars, like Kevin just mentioned, the Jaguars can make a run too. Chiefs, you can't count them out. I know that Kevin mentioned about they were struggling. They had something when the second half they couldn't really score or move the ball. They couldn't really – their scoring offense was down. They scored last week, but, I mean, a bit it was the Los Angeles Raiders. But, hey, you play who's in front of you. So, nonetheless, it's the AFC is – these next few weeks is really going – landscaping. It's gonna be fun to go down to the wire watching this, man. It's absolute madness to this conference. And we all kind of projected like how this conference is gonna go. We just didn't know what teams would be where. So
it'll be like I said, for me it's interesting to see. Even if we know who the division winners are going to be, I really think depending on who gets in the wild card in the AFC and who they match up against, there could be some damage dealt depending on how streaky these teams are going into the postseason. Like I said, I'm a Giants guy, so you know I won a Super Bowl off my team getting hot late in the season. So I mean, if you're going to start getting hot, now's the time to do it. So you know, anything could happen once you're in there, once you're one and done, and you know it's any given Sunday. But the way Denver's playing right now, they knocked off a couple of big Titans in the last few weeks. You know, I don't know if people want to play Denver right now.
Yeah. So, Paul's going to ask you that. So, which team, at least you projecting the rise, and which team you is projecting the fall?
I mean, as far as the divisions, I mean, they can stay where they're at with you know, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Miami, and Kansas City. But I want to see Denver get in there just because they're really hot right now, and they've already beaten Kansas City once this year. You know, they've beaten a couple of big teams. And then I really want to see kind of this C.J. Stroud journey kind of continue into the postseason. I want to see this young rookie quarterback, rookie head coach just banding together and getting into the postseason, because I feel like the postseason then kind of makes C.J. Stroud's season that much more important. Like putting up these big numbers he's putting up and putting up these crazy stats and everything else is great. But if it doesn't make the postseason, it just kind of ends there. But if he can get him into the playoffs and they could potentially win a playoff game, you know, it makes an interesting thing. I think Buffalo's dead. I don't think they're gonna make a run unless the other teams just all fall off. And I think Pittsburgh is gonna something's gonna happen with Pittsburgh. They're just I don't know. I can't explain Pittsburgh and then the Browns have had too many injuries. So I really want to see Denver and the Texans get into the postseason and see what kind of damage those guys can do to some of those juggernauts in the AFC.
Casey, your thoughts on who rises and who falls in this conference?
It's about the same as Paul. Like you've got the Texans all of a sudden coming on, and you got the Broncos all of a sudden feeling like they needed to play defense. And then they're letting Russell Wilson's actually playing pretty well right now. So And when you got a veteran quarterback going into the playoffs, that's the kind of guy you need. So, yeah, I want to see those guys make it in because I want to see them give the freaking 3 and 4 seed. I want to see them give those guys fits, especially if my team gets in at 1. So I want to see that stuff kind of happen. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the end of the year and seeing where the chips fall and where everything goes. I still think Pittsburgh somehow shittily good makes their way into the postseason. It's just insane that they play like they play and yet they've still won games. But like, I can't wait for these next few weeks to are going to kind of spread everybody apart and bring everybody together. So we'll see what happens as far as because a lot of people are getting to the tougher parts of their schedule right now.
Yeah. Nah, man, I agree with you. Texans, Broncos playing hot right now. I can't explain how the Steelers keep winning. Browns are getting injured. So a lot of y'all know this on the head, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse with that. So let's move on to the next topic and talk about the Turkey Day games. Ray, today, your game day experience. How was your food? Was y'all food great, by the way, on Thanksgiving? Did y'all have some good plates on Thanksgiving?
Dog. You've been here for it. You ain't got to ask.
Well, tell the people, KC. Tell the people.
Like
tell the people.
You ain't got to ask. Oh, hold on, Cortez. I told them they had to ask you about this last week. Tell them about that banana split cake.
Oh. So good. Hey, listen. His mom makes one of the best banana split cakes. And
it's the only one I've ever heard of.
Dude. No, it's fire. Listen, when I tell you that I only got one piece, It was gone within, you know the movie Gone in 60 Seconds? That's how fast that banana split pie was gone.
Mm-hmm. It was gone. The good part is this year we didn't have as many people as there. So Kevin got to eat 5 pieces.
Dude, I don't blame you. So, Paul, your plate was good.
We had dinner at my house, and then we went over to my mom's. We had turkey and stuffing and all the fixings over here. And then we went over to my mom's house. She made a ham. We had some ham, mac and cheese, all that good stuff over there. Some dessert, and then I caught the Cowboys halftime show where I didn't know if that was Dolly Parton or a cheerleader from the last time they won the Super Bowl.
Kevin, tell me the joke when you tell me on Twitter about Dolly Parton. Tell me the joke.
Somebody said they wanted to suck on them titties. I said, look, that old body may be 77, but them girls is only 30.
That's right. Plus, you gotta get in line behind Zach Wilson first.
Oh my God, y'all killing me. Thanksgiving was great. Nice plate. We do our annual football game every year. Luckily, there was no injuries. We had kind of a sore hamstring somewhere. So, you know, we're all older in our 40s and 30s and trying to play football, but it was a blast. Then I went over to my pops. He made a good plate, had some ham turkey. Then, of course, I watched Detroit, which I was very underwhelmed by. So disappointed in them. They seem to have that issue, too, where they got some of these games and just, I don't know. But y'all speak on y'all's games.
Detroit likes to get behind early. And yeah. I think that's the problem.
They're like Dwight Howard.
Yeah, there it is. That's why I paused for a minute. I knew it was coming.
Mid-drink, Kevin.
You know, it happens too far often for them that they're losing at halftime and they just don't have enough to get back. I mean, they played a very sloppy first half, a lot of turnovers, you know. Kudos to Jordan Love because he's a guy that we've been giving a lot of flack to over the last few weeks. But,
yep,
I mean, good for him. I mean, he had a hell of a game. He had 268 yards, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. So, you know, A.J. Dillon had a nice game. So everything kind of clicked for Green Bay. But I think this was a game coming off of the week before where we thought Detroit might have had some momentum there, and they were the better team on paper. And it's just – one of them things, man. Detroit on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. Even when they're good,
They seem to find a way to lose. So
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Okay, I'll go with you with this first question. Who made a bigger statement on Turkey Day? Was it the Cowboys or was it the 49ers?
49ers.
That's easy. Dallas played the Commanders. I don't think that's
exactly. I think we are going
to choose the 49ers, but I just wanted to see, get y'all thought. Listen, Dak had a great game. That took off and he did fantastic.
Yeah, because he played against the freaking Commanders.
Well, hey, once again, you just play who's in front of you.
You look really fucking good when you do it, especially when it's the Commanders.
But listen, I think we all agree it's the 49ers. The defense and special team showed up big. They had 66-yard kickoff return, two punts. They got it, and they possessed the field behind the 10-yard line a couple times. So, Geno Smith throwing the pick to Ambry Thomas that was just a bad throw. And Charvarius Ward just had the like the five pass. So I'm really just giving a shout out to just the 49ers defense and special teams. Christian McCaffrey did what he did. Brock Purdy is looking like, as Kevin put it, you know, he's got his piece about like a Cadillac. So, you know, when he doesn't have a piece like a Hyundai. So, but nonetheless, no,
got
defense
rims.
And special teams.
He got his rims put back on.
He said he got his rim, no hubcaps.
Yeah, he was driving a hoopty for like 3 weeks.
No spare rims.
He got them rims put back on. He got his LED lights fixed.
Yeah, he got some of them. He got some of them California like gold spoke, them big boys that are just spinning.
He got his hydraulics all kicked up. That way
he's driving around. He's driving around town looking like Pinky from Next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
White wall looking crispy.
That's right. No, he's driving around looking like Ice Cube on the Day Was a Good Day video.
Mm-hmm. But it with San Francisco with the Niners, it's like I said last week, man. Every week it's someone different. Like Christian McCaffrey was kind of laid low the last few weeks. It was a big Debo Samuel week, a big Brandon Ayuk week, and then this week Christian McCaffrey just blows the top off, and it's just. What are you going to do, man? Like, Brock Purdy only threw for 209 yards because it's all he had to throw for because Christian McCaffrey ran for 114 and two touchdowns.
Yeah, it's because they have the best – what did I say last week? They have the best core group of guys in the league.
Unit.
Yep, they have the best core unit on defense from 1 to 5 in the league.
I'll do one better then. So we're talking about Thanksgiving. How do we feel about those halftime shows, huh?
Yeah.
You'll see all the Jack Harlow memes. Dude came out of like an igloo. I don't know what the hell that was. I don't know what he was doing.
You need to go back in it.
Listen, Jack Harlow's hit or miss for me sometimes, but that halftime show was absolutely brutal. And is it a shame to say Dolly Parton had the best halftime show? Dolly Parton had the best halftime show on Thanksgiving.
And she didn't even move. I give it two tits up.
She was just holding onto the wall like the whole time. Like, I'm like, does she have vertigo? Like, what is she doing? Is she okay? Like,
you should hold as hell. And her back has got to be all fucked up from holding them things for all them years.
Hey, I know y'all saw skipping his feelings, man. Skill was horny, talking about Dolly Parton. Hey, quench that thirst. Hey, Ernestine gonna slap across the head when you get back to the house.
He better relax. good on her though. Good, like, what other 77-year-old can come out and just be like, look, I'm wearing some freaking jorts, and then I'm gonna have my 30-year-old boobies just exploding off of this shit. And they ain't going to pay no attention to the cheerleaders. They going to pay attention to me.
I'm telling you, man. Oh. She was dressed like the cheerleaders from the last time Dallas went to the Super Bowl.
Who's the other halftime act? I'm blanking on who the other halftime act
is. I don't even know who did the Seahawks game. I have no idea. They were in
Was
Seattle.
It a rock? I think it was a rock band.
Kits McGee.
Once again, it don't matter. All we know is Jack Harlow and Dolly Parton.
The bar was pretty low.
Isn't Jack Harlow the guy that redid White Man Can't Jump?
Yep.
Yes, that's Jack Harlow.
Yeah, fuck him. Yeah, fuck him.
Yo, Kevin, that movie's actually all right, though.
No.
I know the original, if you're not the original, but it was okay.
No, then it's not okay if it's not the original.
I mean, I guess it's not bad, bro.
White Man Can't Jump is literally the blueprint for where you could put anyone in that movie and it's going to be okay.
No.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay. Like, no. I was watching to be disappointed. I was like, oh, okay, this is okay movie. I know I'm saying one like spectacular, but it was okay.
There was two movies you can't fuck with, and you put two people that I do not like in them. One was White Man Can't Jump, and the other one was Space Jam. And you fucked them both up.
Well, hey, next time I have Hollywood call, hey, make sure y'all call Kevin Carter. Make sure you approve these
if it's a basketball movie, yes.
All right, let's move on to our next segment here. This is for our guy Paul here. This is the Somebody Gotta Win It division, and we're talking about the NFC South. So I wanted to talk to Paul because he's been making his trademark, you know, this stinks. So Paul, I want you to give us your stink meter on the NFC South.
You want to know
stank meter, not stink meter. Stank meter.
Let me tell you something. This division stinks so bad that the Carolina Panthers aren't even eliminated from potentially winning the damn thing.
God damn.
And they have one win. That's how bad this is. I mean, I rolled up. I said New Orleans was my pick to win the division, but Jesus Christ, do they stink? The Atlanta Falcons, Desmond Ritter fucking stinks.
They
keep finding a way to win. I don't know if that's credit to Arthur Smith. I don't know how that even happens. Fucking Carolina Panthers just fired their head coach, so they're gonna go probably hire the guy from Waterboy to go be their head coach, Red Bull U, whatever that guy's name is, from Louisiana University.
I got a wooden spoon.
And Tampa Bay.
Oh, my God.
That team absolutely fucking stinks. Thinking that Baker Mayfield is going to get him anywhere. Their defense is probably the oldest in the league. It was only a matter of time before they fell apart. I don't know how Todd Bowles still has a job. He's probably next to go.
What did you say? Huh? Oh, never mind. That was their defense trying to hear you.
Paul, Kevin, can I ask you both a question? What's the odds that all the coaches get fired from this division, bro? What's the odds all the coaches get fired? Dude, at least 75% of them, because one already got fired. What's the odds that two more get fired?
If I had to put my life on it, I would think that probably two more go. I think whoever wins the division is safe. And at this rate, it's probably going to be Arthur Smith and the Atlanta Falcons.
Then they're going to look at him and be like, look, motherfucker, you looked into this shit. You got one more year.
Mm-hmm.
I will cry so hard that all coaches in that division get fired.
But
you know how funny that would be? That would be legendary. That all those coaches in one division get fired, man.
Look, whoever coached, like Arthur Smith, should be fired because one, he don't know how to fucking use Kyle Pitts, and two, he don't know how to. He finally figured out how to use Bijan Robinson. What the fuck has took you so long? Like, what in the flying rapitu has took you so long to figure out how to use Bijan freaking Robinson? You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be fired for that reason alone.
Who even coaches the Saints right now? Who's their head coach?
Other guy, not Red Bull U, but Coach Klein.
Oh, Mr. Coach Klein?
Yeah, Mr. Coach Klein.
Oh, okay.
New Orleans Saint coach.
His favorite part of the snake is the knee.
Coach, who is that? Not a good question. Dennis Allen.
Oh, that guy's fucking gone. That guy's fucking gone. That guy's gone big time.
If I had to describe it, that would be the knee.
Okay, so but before we move off of this topic here, here's the 5-6 Falcons next three. They're at the Jets, playing the Bucks, and at the Colts. The Saints is at the Lions, L. They're playing the Panthers, and they're at the Giants. Y'all might get that one, Paul. And then the Bucks they're at the Panthers, they're at the Falcons, and they're at the Packers. If the Bucks lose to the Panthers, get Todd Bowles out of there. Which he should have been out of there, but get him out of there. Get him out of there.
I asked this question last week. There's outside of this division, which is this whole division, these guys are literally going to bed hoping their phone don't ring while they're asleep. Because that shit could happen at any time. But there is you could probably fire half the league right now.
Tampa Bay screwed the fucking pooch when they just didn't give the job to Byron Leftwich.
Mm-hmm.
They screwed the pooch by not giving him his shot and letting him do things. He was an Arians disciple. That sounded bad. He was a Bruce Arians disciple.
There you go.
Not an Arians disciple, because that would have been real bad. But he would have just fit right in and kept going. But no, you freaking hire this idiot and tell him, you're there. No. You deserve it, Tampa. I hate Tampa.
I mean, I would love it if, like, the Falcons or the Saints made it to the playoffs, got blowed out first game, and then they fired their coach. That way all four coaches got fired. Because it's god-awful. And it's a damn shame that one of these teams is going to occupy a playoff spot
at a home
from
field.
from someone else.
And then have
Can we have the one guy come out and go, "Hi, Wonder Boy, fired!" All four of them.
I'm gonna tell you this, because most likely it'll probably be the Cowboys playing. If the Cowboys lose to one of these teams, just get out. Cowboys, listen, y'all probably gonna be the fifth seed. If y'all lose to one of these teams in NFC South, get out. I don't want to hear anything from Cowboys fans, coaching staff. No excuses for Dak Prescott. All this, you lay a dud against one of these stinking teams, get out.
I mean, similar to the AFC debate, right? Look at the NFC, right? You have Philly, Detroit, 49ers.
And that's it. And Cowboys. And that's it.
And then your wild card team is going to be Dallas, and as of right now, Seattle or Minnesota, which would probably be Seattle.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a team out of the NFC South getting a home playoff game. Bad for business, man. It's bad for business.
I know. Remember when Seattle had that home playoff game for winning that shitty division, and then they ended up beating whoever it was?
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the Beastquake game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were a good team with a good coach, and not literally.
They had a losing record.
Listen, the NFC South just be called LinkedIn Jobs, because they're going to be looking for hire somebody here after the season's over.
They're terrible.
They're literally Indeed.
I mean, bro, it's just so bad. And I was going to ask the question: who y'all got winning the division? It doesn't matter. As
The Rock would say, it doesn't matter who wins the division.
At this point, I hope it's Carolina. Fuck it.
Hey, start
Carolina goes on a fucking run.
Bryce Young brings them back out of the abyss. Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on.
The Carolina Panthers, chances of winning the division are much like their quarterback. Very short.
All right, okay, let's move on to the next topic. It's getting very stinking here, so I don't want to talk about NFC stuff anymore. Smell like New Orleans. Let's move on to the next topic.
I like this segment.
Yeah, hey, we want to bring it. We want to bring that back because that you know, the stink set, man. You've been making a trademark, so I had to let you get off that one. So let's assess our own team's performance. And KC,
stank. Oh no, I'm just kidding.
Unfortunately, for you, your Jaguars do not stink, and I want you to talk about the Jaguars. So tap in, brother.
That was probably the most needed win of the year right there. They needed to win that game just to get out ahead, kind of douse that little fire that the Texans were on. They can get back on their run now all they want to, but that kind of simmered down that raging inferno that the media was making out the Texans to be. So that kind of simmered it down. The offense was just, they were lighting it up. Like, the offense finally had their game where they came out and just on all the phases, they were hitting everything. Good to see the backup running back, the Ernest Johnson. He actually come in for Travis Etienne, and he had a monster game. So we're starting to fill in. We did lose Cam Robinson for a few games, probably for the rest of the regular season. But luckily, Walker Little, probably our best left tackle, and we had him at left guard. But that trade we did for Ezra Cleveland is actually coming out to be a godsend right now. So, yeah, we looking pretty good for this this stretch run coming up. We've got rookie quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks and Lamar Jackson. So that's what we're looking at for the rest of the year, where we thought was going to be a hard struggle from a lot of these teams, just with stupid luck and injuries happening to all these other teams. It looks like it's going to be, knowing my team will screw up a couple of games or something like that, and it'll knock us down a little bit. But right now, it's looking pretty good. I'm proud of how they showed up, especially after getting beat earlier in the season against the same Texas team, to come out and play the way they did. Yeah, it's a good showing.
Yeah, okay. There was a lot of chatter about it. They lose this game, man. It was going to knock y'all down a bit, but happy for you and happy for your Jazz that y'all came out and weathered the storm, because this is an up and coming Houston team. So, but nonetheless,
What kills me with the national narrative is, like, everybody wants this team lose. Like, it's like nobody's like, okay, we'll believe in Jacksonville now. Every week it's something different with Jacksonville that nobody actually wants to go, hey, they're good. We have to admit it, and let's go from there. It's like they always want to find that middle school excuse and then run with it. And then for people that say Trevor Lawrence isn't a good quarterback or he isn't, man, get the fuck out of here. Did you not watch some of the throws he made just in this game alone? Like, there's only three or four quarterbacks that are making those throws. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. I know you wanted to jock the rookie and everything like that, but, dude, give the man some credit. Like, he came out and slung it all over the place on your asses.
Kev, I think they're looking for that I told you so moment with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They ain't have it for us, so it's just – they just got a bit bad on that. But, hey, your boy's looking good, man. Be proud of him. Hopefully y'all can close the season strong and see if y'all get a home court, home field. So let's see what y'all do.
They'll have their shot when they play Baltimore. I think that'll be their That'll be their big game. So I think that'll be the interesting one, because that's gonna be their Kirk Cousins. You know, you like that? That's gonna be one of those kind of games for
Good game too. I'm looking forward to that game. That's gonna be a game of the week between those two. So when
that shit better be on primetime.
Yeah, it's already Sunday Night Football with that game.
Good. Perfect.
Nice.
Perfect.
Good. Perfect. Good. All right.
This week we got the Bengals on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, y'all on prime time. Y'all on prime time too. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on Monday night this week. Then we go to Cleveland. And then we got Baltimore on that Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So in 3 weeks we got Baltimore on Sunday Night Football.
just in time for Christmas.
Exactly. Christmas Eve, we play the frickin' Buccaneer.
Oh. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
No, I was going to go. No, the bad part was I was going to go down to Tampa for the game, and then they were like, oh, we're putting it on Christmas Eve. I was like, no, I can't fucking go down there on Christmas Eve. That's fucked up.
Good stuff. Mr. Mack, talk about the Giants, man. They've been playing some inspiring football here recently, man.
I think they're just playing for pride now, which is fine. I mean, can we just relocate them to the NFC South?
Be right there.
There's enough New Yorkers down there. They'll fit right in. They'll be fine. They'd be a game out of first place. But I mean, you know, we're just playing for pride. I think everybody's just kind of been shit talking this team and all the contract stuff happening and Daniel Jones going down. But my man Tommy DeVito, that guy got his celebration going all over the internet.
The sauce,
baby, DeVito, Paisan. But I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, I'm happy they beat New England. I love anytime the Giants beat New England. I kind of love seeing this fall from grace of the New England Patriots. You know, Mac Jones, guy fucking stinks. Zappy, he's pretty crappy too.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Saquon's played. You know, some great football the last 3 weeks. We finally got to throw some deep balls to Jalen Hyatt. Finally, that's kind of what they brought him in for. That was his whole thing, is he's going to stretch the defense, get downfield. He had over 100 yards receiving. You know, I still want to see Darren Waller get more involved. He didn't even have a catch last week. I don't even know if he played, but, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, man, two in a row. We're four and eight. And we're chilling right now. We're actually technically, I guess, I mean, not because of Dallas, but I mean, we keep streaking. Who knows what happens? I mean, three games or so out of a while. Yeah, weirder things have happened. I mean, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to be one of those crazy people that's, you know, smoking the peyote like Jets fans or whatever's going on. But
ayahuasca.
Hey, anytime the Giants get a dub, I don't care who they're playing. It's a good week. And seeing Tommy DeVito, I've been giving him a hard time the last few weeks because I didn't know who he was or where he came from. But he's played some good football the last 2 weeks. And a lot happens when your starting quarterback isn't turning the ball over, even if he's doing nothing. Like, he threw for 191, 27 to 25 with a touchdown, but no turnovers. And, you know, 5 carries for a whopping 6 yards. But, hey, it's fine. We don't need him to move mountains. We just need him to manage the game. You know, I still believe in Brian Daboll. I still think the guy's a good coach. I just think that the Giants got dealt a shitty hand this year with injuries and all the talk from the front office about who they're giving contracts to and all the offseason stuff with Saquon sitting out and coming back in. So, you know, it's cool. It's awesome. You know, so we're 4-8, and I think we could beat any team in the NFC South.
And at least no one called him Danny DeVito this week.
Hey, listen, Darren Waller might not can be found, but he's still winning. He's married to Kelsey Plum, so lucky son of a gun. All right, well, just how I talk about my Broncos. Listen, I was very bullish about this. You can ask these guys on the panel. I was ready to look at draft and look at quarterbacks and go from it. So I literally was, woe is me. And something clicked, and I got to give credit to the only players that believed that they could make this run was in that locker room in Denver and the coaching staff. They believed that they can make this run and still put themselves in position to make a wild card run. So kudos to them. A lot of fans, even on S and Twitter that follows Bronco Country, was pretty much just ready to just say, hey, next season, let's just figure it out. It sucks, you know, not a year, but this is about close as we've been to make a run here. So Broncos did some good things against Cleveland defense, which I know, listen, that Cleveland defense is just – it's been generationally good considering what's happened with their quarterbacks and everything like that. So for Broncos to have a total of 169 rushing total yards on them, with Samaje Perine having 55 yards and having some really good runs against them, Pookie had – 65 yards, 18 attempts. So he's just getting those gritty yards and whatnot. So That Wilson to Sutton connection has been money. It's like had three receptions, 63 yards, but he's making those tough catches. That's what I expected Tim Patrick to do. But again, he went down to ACL injury 2 years back to back. So it's just sus that we don't have a big play threat, because I really feel like if you add Tim Patrick to this core with Sutton and him and Judy, and then also I tied in Dolich that is hurt as well, that it'll be fun to watch. But apparently, man, I guess Dirty Denver has been trending on Twitter because of, you know, the hits that they hit. I know Kareem Jackson has been he had some questionable hits, and some of them's fair, some of them's like should be questioned, but they was questioned about a hit that took out. I'm sorry that the quarterback for the Browns got took out, but I thought the hit was on the shoulder. It looked like it was a clean hit, but I hope he's okay. That's the first thing. You know, you just hope that
you're
he's okay.
You're supposed to say that.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't listen. It is what it is. I don't want to sit, you know, if you just hate for it. See, this could have been a good game going forward there, but P.J. Walker came in, and once I knew that, I was like, yeah, the Broncos going to go ahead and run this open. So, anywho, last four games, they had 15 total takeaways, and three was added from this game. I felt like Cleveland got away from their strength. Jerome Ford was averaging 7.2 yards on 9 carries. So why are you going away from him? They kept passing the ball from while I watched the game a little bit. I felt Cleveland kept passing the ball too much. You have Kareem Hunt and Jerome Ford as your backs. You need to run with them, play the possession game, play kicks, and try to maintain that way. Broncos scenarios. Here's a scenario that's interesting next week. They're a 9 seed right now. So with a win over Houston, who's 8th, and a Colts loss, the Broncos can be at 7 in a wild card. As to a Browns loss, they can move up to 6. So all in all, I need Houston to lose here. Or We need to beat Houston. And I need the Colts to lose. So your AFC rival parts in your division, Kev, I'll bring for both of them to lose. And
me too. So y'all just keep it up. Because the more they lose, the faster we clinch.
So, no, nonetheless, I'm super excited for the Broncos. I don't know where this is going to take us in the next few weeks with the Broncos. But the thrill of this has been fun. It really has been. So, to see them win 5 straight that I didn't think was possible a few weeks ago has just been so surreal to me. And as Russell Wilson, who's been playing fantastic the whole season, doesn't get enough credit for what he is. I know he only had 4 interceptions on the whole year. Now, the stats is not spectacular, but he's not turning the ball. And we're using the running game, and the defense has woke up. So, as y'all mentioned early, a defense in a running game in the postseason is very scary. So, Broncos getting to the postseason, if they get there, should be a fun team that should be there. It felt like that year when we had Tim Tebow and we made that run. Whoa. This is what this year feel like. I know, Kevin, you heard that. Yeah, it felt like that run. We started slow, but then we came on strong. And how ironic that it was Demaryius Thomas, God rest his soul. You know, we had Cordon Sutton that kind of came on late, but these guys believe, man. So it's going to be a front run to the season. And Broncos actually got me engaged again when I was just like, yeah, I'm ready to cash out of Broncos. But I guess that's the ups and downs of being a fan. But I can admit that I was definitely out on the Broncos. I'm still going to watch them. I'm still going to support them. But I was like, yeah, I'm looking towards Caleb Williams. I'm looking toward Drake Maye. You know, I'm looking at quarterbacks. I was trying to think what we need to get on the defense side of the ball. But we got younger and cut Randy Gregory and some of the other pieces. So Baron Browning's came back and looked fantastic. We got Cooper that's coming on the line that looks fantastic. You know, our pass Sertan has been as he usually is. Justin Simmons, like I wanted to trade these guys because I know how hard Justin Simmons worked, man. He's been an all-pro safety for the past 2 years, and he needs to be in a winning situation. So the fact that we can put him there just made me feel good about this run. Hopefully we get him that reward just for him. Justin Simmons, the main guy I really want to get to the playoff, because he's such a good dude, man. He's such a good dude. So,
and shout out to him. You have a guy named Lil Jordan Humphrey?
Yeah. Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Shout out to that guy. His first name is actually Lil Jordan.
Jeff.
What a name.
What? Oh, no, my bad. Not Lil John. Lil Jordan. My favorite part about that whole thing was we actually got a freaking Tim Tebow mentioned during a freaking NFL part of the show. That's insane.
Yeah. Well, no, that Kevin, don't Ron remind you of that?
Well, like, no, I remember that because
Tim, a little bit.
Because they put Tim in. Like, he wasn't even the starter. And they put him in, and then they went on this crazy-ass run with just great defense, and it kept them in the game. And then at the end of the game, like football Jesus would freaking pull something out of his rear end. It was crazy the way that year went for the Broncos until they went up against New England. But – That was a crazy ass run.
Hey, we beat the Steelers though.
yeah, fuck the Steelers.
Hey, Kevin Harvey, like, yeah, you did a good job. I just want you to beat the Steelers. I'm like, hey, I didn't think we were gonna get this far, but I tell you.
Oh, dude, when he threw that fucking pass and he started running, I was like, ah, fuck you, Steelers.
All right, let's move on.
What do they call that game? The Baptist against the Rapist. That's what they call that one.
On that note, we move to the next segment.
Who called
it? That was called the Baptist against the Rapist.
Kevin calls it that. Kevin calls it that.
I don't know. It got called a lot. It got called that a lot by a lot of people down here.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
See, if I have to explain it, though, people won't get it. Ben Roethlisberger took people to the bathroom. And Tim Tebow took people to church. So there you go.
Drop my champagne and her champagne. She didn't know it.
Ben Roethlisberger is a bad human being. Just sorry. He's a dick.
Shut up. Come from me. All right. So hey, who is our player of the week? Who's invited to the barbecue? I'm excited. Y'all boys been holding this segment down, man. So the grill's been kind of cold, man. So I gotta crank up the grill. So I'm gonna let y'all guys go first. And who's about to the barbecue?
Yeah, Cortez hasn't been here to give anybody any fajitas.
Y'all won't let me live that down. Okay.
No, we will not.
Paul, who's your?
That wasn't even a grill. That fajitas. That'd be like doing it off the fucking one of them Blackstone flat tops.
You can put chicken and bell peppers and onions and foil and wrap it up and put on the grill. I did it before.
Nah, that ain't right. Nope.
Oh man,
Paul, I'm gonna bring two guys, and it's gonna be Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill from the Miami Dolphins. Ooh. Jalen Waddle, 8 catches, 114. Tyreek Hill, 9 catches, 102, and a touchdown. So they were just airing the ball all over the New York Jets.
There you go.
That's where we're going. I mean, I would say two through two picks. Like, the Jets kept that game close for a little while. But their quarterback, Boyle, or whatever the guy's name, that guy stinks.
So let's just say it's a group effort and they all stink.
Yeah. I mean, Garrett Wilson showed up a little bit, but yeah, no, for me it's Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I can't invite one without the other. Both of those guys just showed up and showed out. And it just, when Miami's offense is rolling, like, it's fun to watch. But if it's only gonna roll when they play against teams like this, they can enjoy all the barbecue while they can, because when these games get serious, they're going to be looking for something to eat because them guys tend to not show up. So
they're going to be hungry.
Yeah, they can come over now, but they're going to be on the South Beach diet if they can't beat a good team.
Filet-O fish.
Straight up. Fish filet.
Is that what you're making them, fish filet?
No. Yeah. Those two guys can eat. Those two guys can get some steaks and some baked potatoes.
Some mahi-mahi.
Yeah. No, they're good. I'll give them some steaks. I'll give them some red meat. Get some red meat in them. There's some growing boys over there. They need some red meat. Get them some baked potatoes, loaded baked potatoes, some mac and cheese. It'll be all right. Yes, they'll be eating good. They don't want to eat too good.
KC, who's invited to the barbecue? What you making them, my man?
the same guy that I invited last week. Football Jesus, Trevor Lawrence, coming back to the barbecue.
Back to back, huh?
Oh, yeah. Until he starts getting his credit, I'm going to give him his credit.
Fair enough. What you making Football Jesus?
Waffle House. I ain't even making him nothing off the grill. We just ordering Waffle House.
He doesn't want to take him to Waffle House because there might be a fight. So he's going to eat it his house.
Nah, we can take him to Waffle House. The boy Waffle House.
There it
is. Did you see what he did after what game was it? The one where they beat the shit out of somebody at home. Wasn't the Titans. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, the Titans game. After they beat the shit out of the Titans, he went and catered Waffle House for the whole front office staff. Now, mind you, we know there ain't that many white people work at the Waffle House, and the whole catering crew was nothing but white people. They said, man, they sent the B group to cook for them. I was like, nah, the A group still cook. They just sent the B group to take pictures. We don't need the guys missing the 5 teeth or the one with the 13 gold teeth to go for all the pictures and stuff like that.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, he's just coming with his own Waffle House.
All right, got you. Well, guy I'm going to choose, he helped lead them over a victory over the Buccaneers 27-20. How about some Jonathan Taylor action here? Do have some really timely runs, had 15 carries for 91 yards, 2 touchdowns, had 6 yards per carry. Really just carved up that Bucs defense. So he's starting to come alive. I know he had some contract disputes at the beginning of the season. And really is an integral part of the Colts being where they are for a potential wild card spot. So, JT, come on over, brother. I'll fry up the grill. We'll make some brisket. I got some baked potato. And we'll go ahead and make some coleslaw as well, too, brother, with some pork and beans.
Coleslaw. There it goes. There it is. I was waiting on it.
What's wrong with coleslaw?
I was waiting just on the pork and beans. He didn't did the like he didn't say it, and then all of a sudden here it came. Well, pork and beans.
Well, you know, that's why I call the coleslaw and the pork and beans. You gotta miss something with that sweet and kind
of coleslaw is one of them things you serve to somebody you invite to the barbecue you don't really like.
Yeah, hey, man, exactly.
I got some coleslaw over here for you. A nice big bowl of coleslaw.
Coleslaw. Well,
it's just available, but Mr. JT ain't gotta take it.
Nah.
You know, it's crazy. I don't know why I didn't say coleslaw. I don't even like coleslaw.
That's what no one likes coleslaw. Exactly.
Not a lot of people like coleslaw.
On a nice chicken sandwich, right?
This guy just fought all year for a contract, and you're gonna give him coleslaw?
No. On top of a chicken sandwich, what the hell kind of shit is he talking about? You want to put something on top of a chicken? No, you don't put coleslaw. Why ruin the perfectly good chicken by putting coleslaw on that shit?
My mom actually makes this nice like pineapple coleslaw on like a little like Hawaiian style deal. That shit's pretty good.
But coleslaw.
It's probably got
raisins in it too. God damn it.
Cortez, Listen, Cortez, I love you. Fucking coleslaw fucking stinks.
Exactly.
Okay, no coleslaw for JT. My bad, brother.
Hey, all the people you've given the mac and cheese, pork and beans combo, you give this guy coleslaw.
Exactly.
Come on.
You're like, you only ran for 91 yards. You get coleslaw, bitch.
I bet everybody on the Magic got the mac and cheese, pork and beans touching in the plate. That's why the mac and cheese is all gone.
What you talking about? Everybody on the Magic got fucking ribeyes, fucking goddamn all kinds of shit. They got the fuck.
Look, Kevin got disconnected again. Look, oh, man. Look. He went so hard he got disconnected again.
See, is that bullshit?
All right, let's move forward. No, all right.
Cortez bought the Magic solid gold stakes and shit.
But JT get coleslaw, huh?
Whoever works in the truck producing this show must be a Florida State fan that loves coleslaw. Because every time Kevin goes on a rant, he just kicks him out of here.
He's like, fuck you.
All right.
That's the sound people who eat coleslaw make.
Oh, man.
That's the sound coleslaw makes at the barbecue. Oh,
Good Lord. Next segment. All right. Our top five teams. Paul, who you got? Your top five teams.
Philly? Philly won? Pretty similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Philly won. I'll put the Niners at two. I'm going to put Baltimore three. I'll put Dallas at four. And I'll put Jacksonville at four, Dallas at five.
KC, who's your top five?
One, Philly. Two, San Francisco. Three, Baltimore. Four, Jacksonville. Five, after last week. Yeah, I have to put Dallas there.
Kansas City
biting on their heels.
All right, I got Eagles, 49ers, Ravens, Jaguars, and the Chiefs, who figure out a score in the second half, get bumped into the top.
So our top four is the same.
Cowboys has got a legit argument to be up there for sure. So
close enough.
But hey, if they can beat Philly, then I bump up to my top five. So all right. Let's do the weekly KC's weekly picks. See if I add this.
Calculated in 6 weeks. Oh,
it's true. I didn't do them this week either because I was too busy working. So it's fine.
No, we're good. Well, we'll get a calculations up here soon and figure it out. So I try to go to the NFL website, but somehow the NFL website on my Firefox is not working. So I just went to ESPN. So that way you can see them all here. So
them shits are tiny. I can't see those.
I know. I got cataracts. I can't fucking see that shit.
Well, Paul, read your thing and or what you have, and then we'll just go off about
that. Paul got disconnected. He must have said something bad about FSU.
There he is.
I guess I can kind of see. That's better.
Just read yours if you can. I try pulling NFL, but NFL website would not let me change over to week 13 for some odd reason. I don't know why.
Their website stinks. That's why.
It's like cataracts.
I got it right here. We're good.
Doing his best Carolina Panthers impression, I guess.
It's dang.
The people in the NFC South must run NFL.com.
Dang.
All right, Thursday Night Football. Yeah, another good one. Seattle at Dallas.
Ooh. I'll take Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah, I got Dallas also. Dallas is kind of rolling right now.
Yeah.
Sunday, 1:00. Colts at Titans.
Oh, fucking hell. I'll take
Colts
Indy.
Colts will win this. Because Kevin, why will you take Indy?
Fuck the Titans.
Fuck them.
Fuck the Titans.
I was waiting to hear that. I'm going to say it, man.
I'm going to take Tennessee to knock the chances of them getting a wild card out of it right now, because I'm going to take that. I'm going to go Titans just to knock the Colts off the wild card train.
I hope that happens. Yeah. For my Broncos sake.
A real barn burner at 1 p.m. The Atlanta Falcons at the New York Jets.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
This is on Paul's stink meter right here. Stink meter.
Might end up in a tie.
Oh, God. I'll take the Falcons.
Falcons.
Yeah, Jets just ain't got a quarterback. it's gonna be an ugly game, but I'm gonna go with Atlanta. Who you got, Kev?
Atlanta.
Falcons.
Ludacris will come down from the stone again.
No, Ludacris will come down from the stone. That shit was nuts.
Luda.
I'm like, fuck.
Next one. At least he wasn't
fucking on the 50-yard line.
Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions at Saints.
Detroit bounces back.
I'll take the Lions.
Nice hip hop reference there, Kev.
Y'all forgot that song. Yeah.
I remember that song. That's why I said that while I'm laughing. What's your
fantasy? Did you just make a what's your fantasy reference?
Yes, he did.
Kevin is for the culture.
Damn right. Especially Ludacris. God damn it.
Sometimes when Cortez isn't here, I think Kevin is the most in tune with the culture. So it's fine.
Even when we have another brother on.
That's true. All right. Next 1 o'clock. Broncos at Texans.
This is going to be a fun game. It's going to be a fun game. Broncos win by 3. It'll be close.
I'm hoping. I'm going to take the Broncos.
I want to see the Texans get in the postseason. I'm taking Houston in the upset.
Nice.
Next 1 o'clock. Oh, fuck.
You said that. You said that so bullshittingly, Cortez. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should have said the exact thing I said to Paul last week when he picked the Texans over the Jaguars. Fuck you.
The Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim versus the New England Patriots.
Oh my God.
I'm taking the Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim.
I got new glasses. After I watch that game, I'm going to get some more. That game is going to be pitiful. Oh, my God.
What you're saying is it's going to stink.
Oh, man.
You're better than me because I ain't even going to watch it.
No.
Oh, the Chargers will win. Listen, Bill Belichick and his team, they lost a lot of things in that locker room and what's going on. Chargers don't win this game. Fire the coach.
Oh, if they lose this game, Brandon Staley's gone, skis.
Yeah. He's not even kidding. Yeah.
I'm going with the Chargers as well. The Arizona Cardinals at the shitty good Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, the shitty good one. All right. Let's go shitty good.
I'm going to pick Arizona upset.
I'm taking shitty good.
I'm going to keep riding with the Steelers here. I'm going to go with the Steelers over Arizona. Arizona fucking stinks.
Me too. Go Chitty Goods.
Well, the Miami Dolphins are playing against freaking Bishop Sycamore.
Oh, God.
Dolphins at Commanders.
The fucking hell.
I'm betting the over on this. And it's going to be Miami's going to blow them out. I'm taking points in this game. Take everything over in this game.
Thank goodness they got that. Yeah, y'all in that damn Hard Rock app.
Oh, yeah. Well, I lost money today because I lost it. Well, just keep going to the picks. I ain't going to get into that.
I'm going with Miami. I wouldn't be surprised if Ron Rivera's on the chopping block, too. That guy might get fired, too.
Yep.
All right, first 4 o'clock game, the Carolina Panthers at Tampa Bay. Who gives a shit?
Wow, hell, Jesus Christ.
Tampa Bay, Bucks. God damn it,
my team plays on Monday night, so I got to sit through all this shit. Fuck, in Tampa.
Carolina, baby, they're coming for the division. Carolina. Coming in hot. This is where it begins.
Oh, Lord.
This is where it begins. They're going to beat Tampa in Tampa. Todd Bowles is going to get fired. And this is where it begins.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan will be on suicide watch if that happens.
If they beat if Carolina beats Tampa, then everybody should be fired. Like, oh, this is the battle of the two tiniest quarterbacks in the league, though.
Amen.
I mean, the ball boy should be fired if they lose. He ain't even part of the team.
The damn mascot should be. Look, if Tampa Bay loses this fucking game, they need to take the boat out the damn stadium.
Just shoot the cannon into the stadium. Just blow the whole thing up.
Exactly. Just shoot the cannons back into the boat and just get rid of the boat altogether if you lose this game.
Just sink it. I'm going Carolina.
This is terrible. They lose that fucking game. You should put the whole fucking stadium in the bay. Just throw it in the bay.
Oh man. How this isn't a primetime game, I don't know, but 425 Niners Eagles.
And the reason it's not a primetime game is because Fox said you're not taking this shit. That's the reason. Exactly. That's the reason Instead,
NBC gives us Chiefs Packers. But all right, cool. Neat. Awesome.
Fox was like, you can't take this game. Nope. So, because what it is whenever they do the flexing and stuff, each network gets to protect one game. Like if you have those regular games, you get to protect the game. Well, considering all the rest of the shit Fox has, Fox is like, fuck you. We're taking this game because our 1 o'clock game is going to fucking suck. You're giving us Panthers, Buccaneers. So they were like, we're going to protect this game. That way we actually have a good game and people will watch.
Yep. Good call.
On that note, I'm taking the 49ers.
Eagles. I got the Eagles winning.
Niners are healthy. I'm gonna go Niners.
Nice.
They're healthy. Next 425, Browns at Rams.
Oh God, everything on that's brown.
Ugh. Miles Garrett's still hurt, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in a sling.
He's not gonna be effective.
He's going to be out for a few games. Yeah.
He's not playing at all. Okay. Los Angeles.
Rams. Yeah, I'll take the Rams.
Browns going down, huh?
right in the toilet.
Right in the toilet.
Usual commodity there, bud. Yep.
I'm gonna go with the Browns because every time I pick the Rams, they fucking lose. So they can kick rocks.
Who are you going with?
Sunday Night Football.
Who are you going with?
I'm going with the Browns. Who are you going?
Browns. Oh, okay. You and Dwight Howard.
That's right.
Had to.
No one's ramming the Browns but that guy.
Oh my goodness.
Oh Lordy.
All right. Sunday Night Football. Chiefs at Packers.
Kansas City.
It'll be a close game because
Kansas City's weird.
I'm gonna take the Packers.
I hope you're right.
I just love Cortez's because Kansas City's weird. Kansas City's fucking weird.
They are. I mean, they did what they had to do against the Raiders, but
primetime games in Lambeau. Primetime games in Lambeau are weird as well. So, yeah.
In December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm still going Kansas City. They're the better team. I'm going Kansas City. All right, here it is: Monday Night Football, Cincinnati Bengals at Jacksonville Jaguars. What's left of the Cincinnati Bengals?
No,
Jaguars. Y'all better, Y'all better take care of this game, man. This game should be over by halftime.
Well, hope not, because it's on Monday Night Football. I want y'all to keep watching.
Well, are you going to the game?
Yeah. Does the White House like booty holes?
Okay. You made your point.
There you go.
Jax should win this game.
It's like asking if the Pope's white.
I'm gonna go Jacksonville as well. Jacksonville.
They've
been getting a lot of sweeps.
I don't know. I'm torn on who to go with. That's a shame though. Y'all didn't even ask me who I'm picking. Like that's just write it down.
It's obvious, right? Well, who you want? Yeah, they're not. You already know. Yeah. You just got to tell the people you already know he gonna choose.
Yeah, just write it down.
I'm just trying to get through it. Jaguars. I'm just trying to get through it so Cortez can have his moment to shine with his Orlando Magic right now.
Do I have to do it this one episode? And when you ask me who I'm going to pick, I just got to let out a big Duval.
Go ahead, do it.
I will say that till later.
Okay. All right, well, let's wrap this bad boy up. But, of course, this segment, as y'all know, basketball is dear in my heart. And my Orlando Magic has really took the lead by storm so far. And they're on this crazy seven-game win streak that include beating teams as the Pacers, the Nuggets, and the Celtics. This is a team that's shooting 52% from points scored in the paint. They're third in the NBA with 25% of the points scored from three-point land and have 28 three-point attempts, which is 28 in the league. I told Kevin this for a long time. He know. I said, listen, and Kevin know this too because we go back and forth about the Magic. They are not a part of this new NBA where they need to shoot a lot of threes. They have enough talent to get to the rim. They have enough talent to score points in the paint.
And that's they play defense.
Yes, absolutely. And they play defense, which is – for a while, they ranked number one. Now they back down to number two or number three. But they have all this length, and they just couldn't stay healthy. Matter of fact, they're still missing two starters in Wendell Carter Jr. and Markelle Fultz. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen when we get those two back, but those are two starters, the two important parts of your team. That
keep the asses on the bench.
Yeah, and like, listen, Jamal Mosley's got an interim decision to make as far as them. Wendell Carter shoes kicked the cast off, and now he's seen around shooting. But it's just funny, man, because and this is where the discourse with the Magic, and Kevin can tell you this, and Paul can tell you as well. When the last decade, you're not winning as much. I know 4 or 5 years ago, they went to the playoffs with Vooch and they're like that, and they had 2 years in the postseason, but at that point in time, that's where the management thought it was time to cash in on Vooch, who is an important piece to Orlando Magic history. And I'll always be thankful for Vooch, and hopefully he comes back and play for the Magic at some point in time. But he did help catapult this team to the future with his assets, where, you know, we had 2 first-round draft picks that ended up being Franz Wagner and Jed Howard. Wendell Carter Jr. is an important piece of this team. And then we won the number one draft pick a couple of years ago and draft Paolo Banchero, who's really changed the outlook of this franchise. This team has 6 or 7 guys that are over 6'10", and 3 of those guys plays like guards. They can move like guards. You would never – the new NBA is just crazy how much versatility this Orlando Magic team has. December is a brutal month. Now, listen, if we can get through December – even with a 500 record, because we're playing teams such as like the Cavs at home, the Celtics are away. We got the Heat at home. We got the Bucks away in the back-to-back. So you play the Heat and the Bucks in the back-to-back. Brutal stretch. 76ers at home. The Knicks at home. The Knicks have been playing well too. And then the Suns. You got the Suns to close out the month. So that December month is going to be brutal. If we can get out of December with a 500 record or just even like 5 games, the rest of the schedule for the Magic is easy peasy. Like, most of their games are at home, and so they got a real shot to do this. Now, initially, I thought the Magic was going to be a play-in team between that 6 or 6-10 range, be able to compete for a play-in as long as they stay healthy. Right now, man, they're projected to be a playoff team. And that's hard for me to like put into spec, because I always thought between 38 to 42 wins was to just get us there. But because for once they are healthy, knock on wood, because we know this Magic team that health is an issue. And I have PTSD with this Magic team that I'm enjoying it, but I'm being cautiously optimistic because it's always something with the Orlando Magic. As the past 5 years, it's always been something with the Orlando Magic. And I'm trying to thread, and our fans on Twitter and S, they've been all hype and stuff like that, but we just got to enjoy the moment. Let's get through December. Let's see where we go. I won't be having till they clinch. But, man, I'm fucking ecstatic that they have on this seven-game win streak. I never would have envisioned this with the schedule they had already beating some of these teams. And the sky's limit for them, man, as long as they stay healthy. And I'm super excited to go to the games. And when I tell you, Amway Center, guys, it sound like back in 09, 010 when Dwight, Jameer, Shard, Hito was there. It is loud. Kevin, you've been to a few Magic games. I can't tell you the last time they did a Let's Go Magic chant by themselves instead of being prompted by, you know, the PA. You know, they usually did a Let's Go Magic chant.
Usually the only Let's Go anybody chant I hear in there is Let's Go Heat.
So damn annoying. But no, listen, it's so cool to see. As a fan, I'm enjoying it. And hopefully, we'll see what happens, man. It's a fun season. They got a lot of versatility. And
now with that being said, how do you feel about the in-season tournament? Because they're clearly gonna probably win their group.
Well, unfortunately, I just watched the game. So Brooklyn ended up beating Toronto. So that happened. And Boston just had the point differential, which Jason Tatum, by the way, was big on talking about, respect the game and like that. Well, y'all just beat the Bulls by 40 points. So what did you do there? Okay, I don't want to hear it. But no, nonetheless, it's going to be a tricky scenario as far as wild card scenarios. We'll see if we get in. But I would like to get in just because of media exposure. This team only got one national televised game, but we're stuck to watching Wemby and his freaking Spurs team, who's on a catastrophic losing streak on national TV.
I don't even want to get into this stupid thing. Yeah, really annoying.
So, but we'll see, man.
Have they played their four games already, or they still got one more?
They played their four games.
Were they 3-1?
3-1. They lost to the Nets the first game, and then they won the Nets 3. And then because the Nets beat us, and then I think the Nets just got a point differential. So we just bang on the wild card, so we have to see how we do with the wild card in the East. So, But it's good stuff, man. Super excited. I'm going to a game tomorrow. They play the Wizards, and the great words of Paul Mack, they just can stink. Jordan Poole is just throwing up anything he wants to.
The Wizards suck.
That guy sucks.
They're bad, man. But I say this knocking on wood, because they might go off on the Magic, because that's what happens. But nonetheless, very excited.
I'm not an advocate for violence, but I think Draymond Green was right.
I think Draymond punched the talent out of him.
I don't know what happened. He just go over there and he's playing undisciplined basketball. It's like N1 him. He's dribbling all over the place. It's just.
I think he just punched. Like, I think Draymond was like, "Here, I'm gonna punch the talent out your ass," and all just left. You know, you ever seen how Doctor Strange always knocked the shit out of somebody and their body kind of disappeared from the, like, kind of went off, like the ghost would come out of him. That's what happened. Draymond punched him, and the talent just went poof. And kind of went off on its own.
They wouldn't even want Jordan Poole's talents on Moron Mountain.
Can you get it back?
Uh-oh, Cortez is frozen. There he goes.
Cortez always freezes. It's cold. It's cold in Florida.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, Cortez is gone. Right then, he looked like one of them South Florida iguanas when it goes below 30.
It's okay, Cortez. Draymond Green's not showing up. You're fine. You're safe. I promise.
Yeah, you're fine. We won't punch you.
See if he comes back.
He probably won't.
If not, we got to wrap this thing up.
He wants to leave on a high note.
Well, Kev, what are your socials, pal? Where can we follow you and catch you?
This is the same as they were last week. I still haven't opened my OnlyFans. Tom Thomas talked about last week. I still haven't opened my OnlyFans up yet. I'm debating on names in between it. I'll let you know as soon as I do. But in the meantime, you can find me at KevinC2415 on X, and then just look up Kevin Carter on Facebook or whatever. I don't know how they do that shit. Hey, he's back.
All right, let's close this bad boy. I guess I just froze.
Kevin just did. So I'm gonna go. Then I'll let you bring it home, big boy. Don't worry about it. You got.
He'll let you Dwight Howard it. You can bring it up in the rear.
There you go. But you can catch me. You can catch me on X at @the_Paul_Mac on Instagram. @ThePaulMac 520. And yeah, man, that's usually where I say stuff on the internet.
Definitely. You can find me at @N_CP on X. Get me there. I'm pretty sure Paul will cover everything else. So
You can follow us on Facebook at Balls in Our Court
Podcast. Oh, okay. I thought you did that. You didn't do that?
Not yet, man. Not yet.
Okay. All right. So make sure you stay tuned for us during the week. Like I said, you can get the podcast at BILC Podcast on Twitter. You can also get us on, that's Paul's pointing down there. Yep. Yes, sir. So you can also go to get Spotify. It's anchor.fm/Cortez.
I got it.
That's Paul.
I got it.
I got it. What you got?
They got it.
What you got?
Just wherever you listened to it before, just listen to it there again. There. I got it.
There it is. All right, guys. We're signing off. Cortez, Paul, Matt, Kevin Carter, Balls Not Court Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.